Okay, so we're going to hear a bit from the Bible about connected to the vision, but very much at the heart of what we see as church. We've done this series, Are You Ready to Grow, to Be Sent, to Serve? And actually, today really is Are You Ready, Barton Church? Are you ready to engage with God's call for us at this time? And what does that look like? When you have the message of hope for people, hope for now and forever. When you have so much in terms of people, space, money, values and unity. When your main ways are having great effect for some, but little effect for many. When you don't have to drop all the main ways that have some effect to try new ways. When what matters is the original messenger more than the cherished ways of conveying his message. When your aim is to find out what pleases God and to go for it wholeheartedly. When it's okay to try things and fail sometimes and learn and move on. When he promises to come with us in power and guide us by his spirit. When we hit on what it means to try things in his name. Then what follows carries with it responsibility and opportunity and adventure. They were words that I heard on Monday, and I thought, that's quite relevant for us today. When we have a hope for now and forever. When we have so much. When we want to see more of what God is doing in other people's lives, when we cherish the messenger, Jesus, more than the way, the methods that we use, when we wholeheartedly aim to please God, what kind of attitude do we need? Well, one of the responsibility, we've been given this message of hope, one of opportunity, look at what could be, and also a spirit of adventure. Here we go, let's go, church. Are you ready, Barton Church? I'm going to read from Hebrews 10, and hopefully we'll see how we can make the most of this responsibility we've got of the gospel, how we can make the most of being on this adventure together as we take hold of the opportunities around us. So if you've got a Bible, then Hebrews 10. If not, it's on the screen, and I'll have a few verses up there throughout the talk as well. Hebrews 10, verse 19. So Hebrews is written by, we don't know, various speculations as to who it could be. But either way, it was someone who very much knew the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures, and was writing to the church in the first century to try and speak into their situation, to help them understand that the law was a shadow of what was to come. Jesus and the cross, and that he fulfills so much of what the Jewish law was about. And we pick it up at chapter 10, and suddenly the gear shift happens, and it's into application, it's into the so what. And I think these verses can speak into our situation today. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And we have a great priest over the house of God. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We're going to stop there. He kind of carries on in this vein of thought, but this section is really helpful for us today, I think, because as we look at what Hebrews is about. It was about the priesthood and the Jewish people and the law and the old covenant and how all of that has been superseded and fulfilled through Jesus, the great high priest, the one of the new covenant, the one who makes all things new through his death on the cross as we've just remembered. And then it moves straight into this challenge for the church. And you might have noticed three phrases that are repeated. Let us. It says, let us draw near to God. Let us hold unswervingly in verse 23. And then verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And we're going to use those three let us statements as anchors to understand what is it that God's saying for us as a church at the moment. How are we ready to be the church here at this time? So the first one, Barton, draw near to God. Verse 22 said it very plainly, didn't it? Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Barton, draw near to God. We've heard it from Anne in her testimony. We've heard it maybe at the heart of what the vision is, that the first point must be our confidence in our coming into God's presence. You see, drawing near to God is about enjoying Him, enjoying His presence, not just being there because we're told to be there, or be there because we've had faith in the past in Jesus' death for us, but because it's a new relationship that offers something exciting and blessing and life-giving. We see this, don't we, in the passage. Therefore, brothers and sisters, so this is for everyone, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Since, so because of Jesus' death on the cross, because His blood was shed to bring about forgiveness, we can come into the Creator of the universe's presence with confidence. Not with fear and concern as to whether we'll be struck down. That was kind of the fear in the Old Testament and Mount Sinai when the law was given. When people touched the ark, they died. God's holy presence could not be encountered. And then the priest, the high priest, once a year could enter the presence of God in the temple to offer a sacrifice for the atonement of the sins of the people. That presence was something that there was a process to go through. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, that way is the old way. This is a new way. Verse 20, by a new and living way. It's new, not the old covenant. This is a new covenant. It's living because Jesus is alive and in heaven, seated in power and authority. And it was opened up through the curtain. That is His body. So through Jesus' death on the cross, we can come into God's very presence. Individually, collectively. And we can come into that place with confidence. So throughout this letter, that word confidence comes up a number of times. It could be translated boldly as well. Boldly, with confidence, we can be, stand in God's presence and do what? Just enjoy Him? How does that work? What exactly is that? Well, it's prayer. It's worship. It's knowing that we're in a relationship with the living God and that He understands what we're going through and can enable us to be used for His purposes. So we have a great priest over the house of God. Now, we're not that familiar, are we, with maybe the priesthood? I don't get called a priest. I get called a pastor, which I'm happier with. But really, the identity of the priesthood was something that was tribally defined through ethnicity, through years of training and preparation and clear restrictions. And now Jesus is the great priest over the whole house of God, all people, all that come to Him in faith. Jesus has made it possible so that verse 22 is true. Let us draw near to God. So we can come near to God. Something that was so unusual for Jews to hear, because only the one high priest could do that in a certain situation. We are able to do any moment of the day, whether we're on our own or with others. Let us draw near with a sincere heart. We do it with sincerity. We do it in full assurance that faith brings, having hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilt and washed with pure water. So this is something that is so full and clear. We're free from sin. We're washed and cleansed and able to be in the presence of the holy God. Wow. Last weekend, I had a call-up. I had a call-up to play for the Cornerstone Legends. Now, the Cornerstone Legends, it's the football team, by the way. The Cornerstone is the football team I used to play for in Hertfordshire. And I got a call-up because there was a testimonial for the goalkeeper who, after 20 years, was hanging up his gloves. And so as a result, we were going to surprise him by gathering. I was the only one outside of Hertfordshire, and I travelled from Kent all the way up there to play in this testimonial. But what I had to do was go into the changing rooms of the current team, Cornerstone current team, in order to get the kit and then go into the Legends. I love being called the Legends. I mean, I'm not really that old, am I? But I'm getting called a legend of the game. I've not played for them for 7 years. And they've got younger, sprightly young footballers at the moment playing. And so I walked into the current Cornerstone team's changing rooms to get my shirt. And I just didn't feel like I fitted in at all. They're all kind of talking. They knew each other. And who is this guy? This guy from the past that no one knew. And I kind of got my shirt, tried some small talk. It didn't really work. And then I was like, yeah, we're about to play against you. Get out. Then I was told, to make it even worse, that I had to play for the current team because they were short of a player. So I couldn't play for the Legends. I had to play for the current team, who I didn't know. I thought, well, at least we might win because they're younger and fitter, etc. Then I left to get changed with the Legends. And do you know what the welcome was? Hello, Captain. They were the first words. It made up for that horrible experience in the current change rooms. I went in and I got on my shirt, told them I had to play for the other team, but I felt like I belonged. I had a place. I had a status. I had friends. I belonged. I was in the presence of people that I knew and I was confident amongst, and I could crack jokes with, and I could call back previous cup finals with. It was a wonderful environment. Smelly, dirty, at the end of the game even worse. But it was so contrasting to the environment that I was in at first in that current team changing rooms. When we come into God's presence, we can be confident. Like we're with people we know, where we belong, with a status, with others in community. That is God's heart for us in our relationship with Him. As we gather in relationship, as we are on our own praying to Him. And He wants us to grow and draw nearer. So the question might be, how near do we feel to God? How confident are we in His presence? Because if we forget the gospel, which promises wonderful things of confidence and love and security and relationship, then we can be a church that is infused by God's presence and enjoy Him as we sing. And as we pray, intercede to the one who loves us and knows us and can answer our prayers. It transforms our prayer life. It transforms our worship. It transforms how we read the Bible, how we do community and fellowship, doesn't it? And it should, but so often, if you're like me, it doesn't. So what is God's word for the church today? Enjoy God's presence. Draw near to Him. But then the writer carries on. He says, don't just draw near to God, hold on to God. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For He who promised is faithful. See, not only do we have the presence of God to enjoy, to know through Jesus Christ in our relationship with Him, we also have the promises in the Bible to hold on to. That confession of faith, that testimony, that experience of God, that truth of believing that Jesus died and lived for me and that we experienced His saving work. That confession, that testimony is what we have to hold on to. And it kind of implies that it's hard to do that, doesn't it? It brings some reality into this theological passage. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. What does Barton need to do? Barton needs to hold on to God. Hold on to God with a firm, tight grip. Now, thankfully, it's not all about how strong we are and how well we can hold on to God, because He holds on to us. He is the one that gives us faith to cope in the hard times. We know that. And we know that because he who promised is faithful. That's what the verse says. But our experience is so often much more about feeling like we're about to lose grip and let go, isn't it? Because suffering comes and attack and struggles and hardships and relationships break down. And it is actually quite hard to hold on. We can be so easily discouraged. If you imagine a metal bar kind of up here somewhere, often I think we can feel like holding on to the hope we have is like hanging on to that metal bar. Okay? You're hanging on, you've got gravity going against you, you've got your weight going against you, you've got the strength of your arms going against you, or at least I have, you've got the slippery, sweaty palms beginning to happen. You feel like you're just going to fall. It's not like that. That's not reality. What reality looks like is holding on to the person next to you. There's no gravity to worry about, no weight or strength that's required. You're holding on to a friend. Your arms around the shoulder of your older brother, Jesus Christ. He's the one that's saved us. He's the one that's there with us in personal relationship. And he's the one that helps us hold on unswervingly to the hope that we profess. It also suggests, doesn't it, that it's not easy and that there's things that come our way to make us struggle. And I think as a church and as Christians around the world, but certainly in our kind of context in the West, some of the challenges are pretty tough to do with the views of different ethical areas in life, sexuality or gender or technology, or how we cope with money and work and families, identity. All these things, our culture is speaking into us with something different to what the Bible says. It's hard holding on as a Christian when there's lots of different voices and they're competing. Barton, hold on to God. Remember your first confession of faith. God is faithful. Even when it's hard, he is with us. And then the third area of let us says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So Barton, build up and out for God. We need to make sure that we draw near to God. We need to make sure that we hold on to God, but also that we build up one another and build out. It's not just for us here in this room to be cozy and enjoying God's presence and to be holding on to our faith when it's really hard out there. The purpose is to be like a magnet to draw others in and to go out and speak out the overflow of our love for God to the world that needs that hope. What did I start with? When you have the message of hope for people, hope for now and forever. Well, you can't keep your mouth shut when you have a hope like that. And yet often we feel like all we can do is keep our lips sealed. When we have a hope that transforms people through Jesus Christ's power. And what does it say? Let us consider how. So this is kind of where we get practical, isn't it? How? What are the ways? Let's be creative. Let's ask questions. Let's think of how we do our outreach, how we do our life groups, how we do our relationships in the workplace. Can we kind of make the most of talking to someone on a coffee break rather than just sitting on our phone? Can we think about how we use the time to drive to work to pray for our colleagues? Can we be creative? How can we spur one another? Maybe we can drop a text message of a Bible verse to a friend who we know is struggling. Maybe we can just call them after someone's said, I need prayer for this. And then we can find out whether people have got through the difficult job interview or work situation or home challenge with the toddler or whatever it might be. Consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And that's the purpose of church. Building one another up, actually, isn't it? Building one another up in love. Not just coming to receive and go, to come to worship our amazing God and to look for how we can worship him through building others up. Conversations over coffee. Praying with people in the moment. Loving people by listening when it's really difficult in their life right at that very moment. But as well as building one another up as the body of Christ, the people of God, we want to make sure that we build out for God too, don't we? That we see impact in our communities. And that's kind of what some of the vision was about earlier. Not just Sundays, Sunday gatherings, but also everyday mission. How we live out our faith in the workplace, in the home, in the community sectors. How do we do that? Well, let's think about how our good works, our deeds, reflect the good gospel that we believe. So it's an outworking, it's an overflow, it's natural. It's not, oh, these works will impress God. These works will make others think I'm the good Christian, I want them to make me think. No, it's a response of gratitude. And so the author here is saying, I urge you, draw near to God. I urge you, let us hold unswervingly. I encourage, exhort, urge you to consider how you can build one another up in love and good deeds. Tomorrow, at 11 o'clock, our CAP job club starts. We've talked about it, we've prayed about it, we've met about it. Loads of work's been happening. And we need to carry on praying for it. But it's one way of doing something good in our community, isn't it? Where we can meet a real need, where people that are unemployed and are struggling to find work, to have support in trying to get into employment. Let's pray for that tomorrow at 11. Let's pray for those individuals that we get to know through it and might be sat here in a few months' time. As we think about Community Cafe or about how we do our kids and youth work, what are the good deeds, the good things that are coming out of Barton? How can we serve God in this way? And remember, the first point, by drawing near to God, by holding on, then what flows is this natural spurring one another on. You know what a spur is? It's that thing on the boot of a cowboy that digs into the horse and makes that horse run, that spurs on the horse to jump over the obstacle, that causes action. Let's be like that with each other. Let's spur one another. Another word could be stirring up. When you chuck in loads of things to your recipe, you stir it up so that there's a result that's a wonderful cake. That's the aim, isn't it? Stirring up. It doesn't just happen. You might get an electric whisk or a wooden spoon, but it doesn't just do it itself. It requires activity. So what is required of you and me? And you might think, well, actually, it's just too many problems. Overcoming the problems with church. How on earth do we do that? It's not my style. It's not what I want to see happening in the week. It's not quite, it's frustrating because people keep disappointing me and discouraging me. Suddenly we think church is about me rather than about others. How do we overcome these problems, these discouragements? Well, a big part of it is recognizing the problem in our own heart. And it's recognizing our sin and going, oh, I can't be the perfect church member. I'm not. And in fact, I need to say sorry. I need to ask God for his help. And then I need to go, come on, let's go together. That's what God calls of us when we get frustrated by the mechanics of church. But then we read in verse 25 what we can do positively, which is this. Let us consider how to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. So what do you say? He says, well, don't just focus on the discouragements. There'll be a whole load of them for sure. But focus on encouragement. Focus on building one another up through being present. See, we have an impact by being absent. We can't speak into other people's lives. It's not just that we aren't hopefully blessed by being in fellowship in church with others or in life group or in another discipleship group. What happens is we miss out on playing our part in the body with the different members of the body. So actually, the focus on encouragement is essential. Encouraging one another to be present, to not give up. And Commitment's hard culturally. We see a lack of commitment and loyalty across society. One way we can be countercultural is to let our yes be yes and our no be no, and to go, I will prioritise this. I'm going to put it in my diary. I'm going to be accountable to someone. I'm going to make sure my kids grow up knowing it's normal to be at church and it's unusual not to be. That feeds their growth, their love for God, and the way that they'll be exposed to who God is. That it's normal to be at life group. It's normal to be serving on team regularly. It's normal to do these things that we know are good for us, because we can then be fulfilling this. Do not give up meeting together. Don't neglect it. The Bible knows nothing of solitary religion. That's what John Wesley said. So often we think that private faith is the normal thing, and that those Christians that talk about it and that gather a lot together are the unusual kind of extreme ones. No, the Bible speaks a different message, and John Wesley highlights it quite clearly. He says, no, the normal thing is community. That's what we heard from Sandra earlier as well. And finally, not only do we encourage one another to be present, we encourage one another that Jesus is coming back. His return is imminent. Don't know if you can imagine a sunrise. Hopefully you can. Maybe you've had a special memory or moment like that. But you know that moment before the breaking of the dawn, when it's still dark and you're kind of waiting, you can begin to see light coming out across the horizon. That's the kind of place that we're in now, okay? We know that the dawn will break. We know that the sun will rise. It's not quite fully risen at all, but that the effect is kind of glimmering over the horizon. It's not as dark as it was at 2 a.m. It's not full sunrise. This is the place we're in now. Jesus is coming back. The day is approaching. It's near, but not here. That is the place that we're in. And that is what we need to encourage one another with. That Jesus is returning, and because he is, let's live in a way that reflects that truth. Because so often, I know I don't. I live in a way that is almost as if he's not coming back, and we've got eternity to figure stuff out. No, he is. So let's live in a way that reflects that. So, are you ready for this vision? To see Barton as a diverse community on a united mission, growing together in following Jesus. Seeing lives, communities, and culture transformed by Jesus. Seeing these four visionary statements hopefully come to effect. Well, one way that that can happen is by us drawing near to God, holding on to God, and building up one another, and building out. Let me pray that that would be the experience of this church in the coming years. Lord God, we need your help. And I pray that you would enable this vision to be covered with your blessing and favor and grace. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to change where we need to change. Help us to live out what we need to live out, to draw near to you, to hold on even when it's hard, and to build up and out for your glory. Amen.